A little over a year ago, or perhaps a little bit longer, Pastor Randy Miller shared a sermon and an illustration with us concerning a loaf of bread. How many of you all remember that sermon and illustration? Do you remember it? He brought a loaf of bread, had it on a paper bag and brought it out, tore a piece of it off. He spoke of the nutritious value of the bread needed by our bodies to sustain life. He also spoke of how many civilizations, maybe I should drink some water. He spoke of how many civilizations of the world had some type of bread. Do you remember that? Talked about all over the world, people made bread out of many things because bread had the nutrition in it to sustain life. Many times prisoners are just given bread and water. Do you remember that? Both in appropriate amounts will sustain life for a long period of time. In fact, it's suggested you could live as long as 6 months with just bread and water. If you add in some vegetables for some vitamins, that time grows significantly. While the human body can go as long as 21 days without eating any food, it can only live about a week without water. Water is the only fluid that we need to drink to survive. At least 60% of our body is made up of water. Water acts as a lubricant for our joints, regulates our body temperature through sweating and respiration, and helps to flush waste out of our system. It is amazing how our body uses water in so many ways. Several years ago, I was out in the desert in Nevada in the month of June. Probably wasn't a good idea to be in the desert in June. It was very hot, and I drank bottles of water every day, maybe even bottles of water every hour. But amazingly, I rarely had to go to the bathroom. Now, my body was using the water to cool my temperature through sweating. Now, I'm not sure how many of you have been on a diet where you're supposed to drink a lot of water. You know, 48, 64 ounces. I've been on those diets where I tried to drink a lot of water, and I pretty much spend all my time going to the bathroom and coming back. So my body is regulating the fact that I don't need the water to control my temperature. So it's using the water to flush the waste from my system, the waste out of each cell in my body, so that I can survive and get the poison out. It has often been said that water is the essence of life. If you watch any of the National Geographic programs about the life in the Sudan or the plains of Africa, actually, if you don't do that, just come to my house. Because that's the only channel my wife watches when I'm not home. Anyway, if you have doubts about that, come ask her after the sermon. But you find that in those episodes where they talk about life on the high plains and in Africa, that without the rain or the monsoons that come, everything dies. From the smallest grass to the largest mammals, elephants, and every predator in between. Water is critical to sustaining life. Not only here on Earth, but I venture to say throughout the galaxy. As scientists continue to look for life on other planets, what's the first thing they look for? Water. Evidence of water. Because without water, our carbon life forms cease to exist. Water is mentioned in the Bible over how many times? Do you know? Anybody wage a guess? John says 1,000. That's a lot higher than I would have guessed. That's a good guess. 600 times water is mentioned. It is first mentioned in the book of Genesis. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. It is last mentioned in the book of Revelations. In fact, we read about it this morning. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. Water has always been known to be the sustainer of life. And without it, this mortal life ends. The scriptures are full of stories about water and the use of water, the parting of it, the Red Sea. Do you remember the parting of the Red Sea? We read about the parting this morning when they left to go into Canaan. They carried the ark before them and the Jordan River parted. And what did I say earlier when I read scripture? You didn't know this was going to be a Q&A sermon, did you? What did he say? He said something about water. That the Jordan River is at its highest during the harvest time. So it wasn't like it was just a trickling stream. It was a rushing river. And when they stepped down, the river parted. Water is used for the quenching of thirst, gushing out of the rock when Moses struck it. Of course, that was the act that kept Moses out of Canaan. Do you remember God opening up a spring for Samson to drink from in the Old Testament after he slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass? Jawbone of a donkey. I'll get in trouble for that one. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well? Jesus asked her for a drink of water because he was thirsty. Water is used as a selection criteria. Do you remember that case in the Old Testament? Gideon. Remember Gideon's army was so large that God said, "Go down to the water, and those that lap it up like a dog are those that lap it up out of their hand." He shrunk Gideon's army so that nobody could say it was the army that won the war or the battle. It was God. Water is used to prove the existence or power of God. One of my favorites, because I've been there a couple of times now in Israel, Mount Carmel. Elijah, battling the prophets of Baal, where the offering to God was drenched with how many jars of water? Anybody remember? I'll give you a hint. It was drenched 3 times of 4 jars. 12 times. They drenched the offering till what? The trench that he had them dig around it was full of water. Fire rained down out of heaven and lapped up the water and burnt the offering. What about the storm on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus slept and they woke him and what? He spoke and the waters calmed. Peter walking on water, going out to meet Jesus. Jesus turning the water to wine. What about the man that was blind from birth? Do you remember Jesus spat on the ground, made mud, put it on his eyes, told him what? Go wash in the waters in the pool of Siloam. Water is used in showing servitude, where they washed the feet of visitors that came into their house. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples with water. Water is used to cleanse in preparation. In the Old Testament, the Levitical priest, before the Sabbath, washed and cleansed themselves before they went into the temple. Pilate, what did he do before he pronounced? Washed his hands. And water is used to show the acceptance of God's offering. John the Baptist baptizing believers in the Jordan River. The baptism of Christ himself. Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch on the road. Water is used to show the acceptance of God's offering. Baptism or sprinkling? Now I'm going to get into troublesome water here. But hear me out. Baptists believe in immersion, the complete covering of water, because it's a symbolic gesture of washing away the old life and committing to living a new life according to Christ's will. That's why Baptists immerse. That's why we baptize. But if you want to get technically correct here, during the time of Christ, the argument from the historians is that the river wasn't deep enough to baptize, so they sprinkled. My personal conviction is I prefer baptism. I'm not saying I'm right. I just prefer baptism. I prefer that symbolic gesture that I am committing to living a new way of life. According to the recent study by the U.S. Geological Survey, the earth is covered by 326 million cubic miles of water. That's roughly 72% of the earth. When I was in elementary school, they always told us 3/4. Because I started to write that in my notes, and then I researched it, and I'm like, I guess I'm wrong. And I don't want somebody correcting me. So, 72% of water. About 97% of that water is salty ocean. And not fit for drinking. Brings up a point. It reminds me of the line from the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner by Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Anybody remember the line? Water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink. It's about a sailor that's on a becalmed ship, surrounded by salt water, and yet he cannot drink. It's almost the analogy of God being everywhere, but yet we need to seek Him. Do you know why you can't drink salt water and survive? I told you it was a Q&A sermon this morning. Because of the salt content. Because your kidneys need to filter the salt out of the water. And what's it need to do that? More water. But the more water you're drinking is putting more salt into your system. So eventually you die of dehydration and being thirsty, no matter how much seawater you drink. So there's a lot of water on this earth, but only a small portion of it is fresh water and drinkable. This means we have to search to find it. It is not as plentiful as we might expect. It takes effort on our part. Is it any wonder that water is critical to our existence in this life? In scriptures, God uses the necessity of water for life as an analogy for our need for Him for eternal life. Going back to the story of the woman at the well, Jesus is seeking to explain to her that while she needs water from Jacob's well to live, her life will end without the water of life that He provides. Accepting Him is a wellspring of water for life eternal. John 4:13-15. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to Him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't have to get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." You see, I've long believed that in mission work, by the way, we're all in mission work, right? Amen? We're all in mission work. That in mission work, in order to meet a spiritual need, you have to first meet a physical need. You need to build a bridge. Give them a reason to listen, to trust, and to accept. For we are all physical creatures bound in this mortal body. And in order to exist, we must have the physical needs of our bodies met. I believe this is exactly what Jesus is doing here at the well. The woman has come to meet a physical need, and Jesus is using the opportunity to explain to her that her physical needs will continue and are limited. Yet He can provide an eternal life, one that no longer requires her to come daily to the well and draw water. She does get the physical part fairly quickly, but it's the deeper meaning that takes a little longer for her to grasp. Only through Jesus telling her about life, her life, and the decisions that she's made, does she begin to realize the deeper meaning. This lesson is continued in the telling of the future through John in the book of Revelations. We read about it this morning in the New Testament, Revelations 22, 1-2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, plural, nations. The water flowing from the throne of God throughout the city, bringing nourishment and life to the tree of life, and that tree bears healing fruit for all the nations. All the nations of the world have the opportunity to take of the fruit and drink of the living water. Remember, Isaac and Ishmael both would be fathers of many nations. May we, as followers of Christ, be so bold as to share the news of eternal life with all the nations of the world. May we take the opportunity to meet a physical need of someone this week so that we have the opportunity to share God's eternal life with them. As I look at the world and the use of water, and if you look at the ecological system, without water, without fresh water, there's no life. Rains fall, replenish the earth, grasses grow, trees bear fruit, we drink, we live. The sun comes out and does what? Evaporates the water. Evaporates water out of the ocean. It goes back into the sky. It creates water vapor. Attaches itself to dust particles in the air, which creates clouds. Clouds get too heavy to move or to go over the mountains or to be pushed along by the jet stream. And what happens? We get rain. Rain replenishes the earth. Yet somehow all this just happened. Wow. That takes a lot of faith to think that somehow all this just happened. Water is the essence of life. Jesus Christ provided the eternal life and eternal water for us. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. I'll praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Let us pray. Our Father, may we never take water for granted again. We turn the faucet on and it just gushes forth. May every time we look at a glass of water, may we be reminded of the eternal life we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Father, may we look at that water and may our heart be burdened to share it with others. May we use the physical need of water to quench the spiritual need of those that we meet along our way. For we ask these things in your name. And through our blessed Savior, we pray this morning. Amen. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. We'll sing all four verses. Let's stand together.